Hare Krishna. I just came from a graduation ceremony of our Bhakti College, where quite a few, I guess must have been as many as 20 students, received their Yoga Master degrees. And it was very heartwarming, very gratifying ceremony, because we could see how many people who initially come to academically learn about Vedic culture, Vaishnava theology, and yoga become, by the association of devotees, by the proximity to the temple, by the subjects that they learn, which is based on Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, and of course all of Srila Prabhupada's books, and by the Vaishnava tradition, how they're transformed. They're transformed into Vaishnavas, practicing Vaishnavas, aspiring initiates. And it's real preaching in a real sense of the word, that these people don't just come for a Bhagavatam class or a Sunday program. They systematically study Shastra. And very often, it was interesting to note that they know Shastra better than full-time devotees, because they spend more time studying it. Anyhow, we started off with kirtan, and they all participated. And of course, this is not just, this is a packed hall. It was not just the students themselves who were there, or the graduates, but the students were there, and then relatives and friends. So it was a big affair, and started off with kirtan, and then Maharani Devi Dasi, who's the dean of the college, she spoke a little. Then I spoke for about 20 minutes on the difference between our college and that of a secular institution. And of course, it's not just that we're not secular, obviously, but it's just the direction that our Bhaktivedanta College gives people in life, life direction, and the lack of the same, which is there in colleges, universities, educational institutions, which are really meant to make you into something, but don't really care who it is that you are. In other words, care who you are, they just care what you are. Are you an engineer? Are you a computer technician, programmer, or Lord knows what? And the point that I highlighted, among others, was this endless pursuit of knowledge in our modern culture leads to deeper and deeper levels of ignorance. Ignorance of not only reality and the world that we live in and its purpose, but ignorance of the ultimate goal of life, because people are not learning anything about what the goal of life is, why they're here in this world, what they're meant to achieve. They're learning a profession, and by that profession they want to acquire the maximum amount of money so that they can enjoy their bodies as much as possible, their senses as much as possible, and in that way neglecting their true spiritual identity. And this concept of the more knowledge you are, the happier you are, is really an illusion. Rather, the more knowledge that you attain, this insane pursuit of knowledge leads people into forgetting more and more about their spiritual identity and what they're doing here on this planet. I gave the example of my hand. I held up my hand. Here's a hand. Everyone can see the hand. Look at it closer with a magnifying glass, and you can see the lines on my hand, my karma. Look at it with a microscope, you can start seeing cells and so on. And look at it with an electron microscope, and you can start seeing atoms and electrons. But, in other words, the closer you examine my hand, the less you see it, and the less you see what it is that you're looking at, and you may very easily lose perspective. In the same way, although this world is the creation of the Lord, and by the damnation of the creation, we may come to an understanding that there must be a creator here. But if we start going too deeply into studying the creation and using our intelligence to understand the different aspects of this creation, we may very well lose sight of that. So yes, certainly learning should be there to a certain degree in order to eat, sleep, mate, and defend and maintain ourselves. But how much learning is another thing. There should be a level to how much we learn, and we should know when to stop. Unfortunately, modern society doesn't know when to stop learning, and the result, of course, is that they get so many so-called educated people that they don't know what to do with. That's just one result. So, for instance, if we examine the animal kingdom, every different species in the animal kingdom has some unique talents by which they eat, sleep, mate, and defend. Birds, they fly, they have their unique way. For instance, a woodpecker of how to scare mites or worms out of trees. But they don't then start learning, for instance, the cat's method of feeding themselves, of catching trees and climbing up trees and so on, and they don't give up flying for practicing the cat's dharma. Neither do the cats start to try to fly in order to be able to catch worms or bang their heads against trees in order to try and scare some kind of animals out. They all stick to their own dharma. In other words, they know the level to what they need to learn, or at least they're limited to what they learn in order that they can maintain themselves. And ultimately, that's what human society was about 100 years back, is that people learn trades. They learned from their parents, their next-door neighbors, or from some master, some particular trade with which they could maintain themselves. And then they spent more of their life, not all of their life, but they spent more of their life on spiritual values, on cultivating personal qualities in villages everywhere around the world. What did villages have? They all had churches, temples, synagogues, places of worship. That's what society was based around, and people had time for that. People don't have time. They don't have time because they're so busy learning, they're so busy trying to put into practice what they learn, and they're so busy like dogs chasing their tails, trying to chase the pursuit of happiness by increased sense enjoyment. And after my talk, then we distributed the diplomas, and it was also a very nice personal touch to all of that, is that all of the teachers spoke about the individual graduates and students. And then finally, a representative of the student, thanked the teachers, and they made a little presentation. And afterwards, they all went to the temple room and offered their diplomas to Dhyanatai Vijaya Gauranga, to the deities, and to Srila Prabhupada. And now everyone's sitting outside and having prasadam. So it was a really overall nice Krishna conscious experience to celebrate Krishna conscious education. And interestingly, quite a few of these students are now going to continue on with their diplomas, and some of them are becoming teachers. Our Bhaktivedanta College is an accredited college. It's one of the two accredited Vaishnava theological colleges in all of Europe. It's the only college that gives a yoga master's degree. It gives a master in yoga asanas. And when I talk about yoga asanas, don't get the idea that all they're doing is learning asanas and standing on their head. A good majority of their time is spent studying the Bhagavad Gita, the psychology of yoga, in other words, how the mind works. They learn about meditation, how to focus their mind, and they study mantras, especially the Maha Mantra. I believe that Srila Prabhupada would be very pleased and very happy by the achievements of these devotees, and which takes me back to, I don't know, maybe just 20 years back, or not even that long, when I asked Radhanath Prabhu to establish this college, and right now it's one of the real success stories of the Hungarian Yatra. So we require and request all the devotees to give their blessings, and hopefully in the future we'll be able to present all of these subjects in English. That's always been my great desire, and also the school's great desire, and that way we can cater not only for Hungarians, but we can cater for interested parties and devotees all over the world. Hare Krishna.